You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. We just heard about a group that works to educate Black women about mental health. And that brings us to A Bay View, the segment where we ask someone to share an aspect of their life that touches on a larger issue. KALW reporter and author Janae Darden shares her personal experience with depression through poetry. Here she is, starting with her poem, Battleground.
They said Black girls from East Oakland are supposed to be tough. Daintiness is not an option. Feeling pain is not an option. They said Black women don't have time to be depressed. The early years of my mental health journey felt like a battle, not just with myself, but with others' opinions of how I should see myself. 1993, I was living my 8th grade, 13-year-old life in East Oakland. And for the most part, things were good. Back then, you would have caught me shopping at the swap meet in Durant Square, watching music videos on the local cable station Soul Beat, or reading my mother's Jackie Collins novels. And on a special day, my grandmother would call me to come over for cabbage, yams, and cornbread. I lived for her cooking. Yeah, there was a lot of violence in the community too, and luckily my family was able to keep me safe. Middle school life was a bit more challenging. I was a prissy, nerdy Black girl, a target for bullies at my predominantly Black Catholic school. Like Michelle Obama, other kids said I acted white because I earned good grades and spoke proper English. As for the taunts about my body, yeah, I had small boobs. They were like honor roll, straight A's, get it? But the attacks about my skin complexion broke me down. I've been tricked into thinking that the color pink was only restricted to the honeycomb light brown shades that are not me. It looked good on Malibu Barbie and the light-skinned girl who sat in front of my class. But when I dared to wear my favorite color, I only got teases and laughs. They said pink was too feminine for a dark-skinned girl like me. Beauty is not an option for dark girls. Colorism. Alice Walker defines it as prejudicial or preferential treatment of same-race people based solely on their color. For those of us girls with darker complexions, we face prejudices because our features are farthest from what is considered the beauty standard, white. I grew to hate what I saw in the mirror, and I prayed I had the fair complexions of Jasmine Guy from A Different World or Martin's Tisha Campbell. The girls that look like them, they always got the guy. The girls that look like me were the sidekicks. My mood slowly died. And this descent accelerated when I began high school. Adjusting was a challenge. I had a hard time making new friends, which made me hate myself more. Negative thoughts played on repeat in my head. I'm not cute. Nobody likes me. This was deeper than needing a self-esteem boost. Huh? Self-esteem? Where do you get that, I asked. Does it come in a lotion bottle or a jar, like beauty cream? Has Oprah given it away in her favorite things? Is it easy to put on like a clip in my hair? Hold up. Does it come with Obamacare? Self-esteem, they make it sound like it's the answer, no doubt. But how is self-esteem the key in a world that constantly tries to lock Black women out? Occasionally, I have anxiety attacks on school nights. My heart would race and it felt like there wasn't enough oxygen in the room. My mom thought this was just nerves from me working hard in school. I hid my negative feelings until I couldn't anymore. My mom found a runaway note. I wanted to leave because I felt like a burden and a terrible person.
And I said, okay, there's something wrong.
She took me to a therapist with the quickness.
Yeah, it was my first idea. I knew that it was something that I couldn't handle. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, children, they may not talk to their parents about what's going on. And I said, well, maybe she'll talk to someone else.
At 14, my therapist diagnosed me with depression. I went to my appointment every week. At first, I didn't know what to expect. Would the therapist think I was out of control, helpless? I carried a lot of stigma. Aren't therapists for crazy people? I'm smart. Why couldn't I fix this myself? My stigma had a cultural angle, too. I thought I failed at being a strong Black woman. Black people survived slavery, and I'm better off than my ancestors. What do I have to be upset about? Even my pastor had me questioning myself. I remember him saying that people with depression need to be better Christians. These are the kind of things Black people struggling with mental health challenges hear from others and internalize. Stigma often deters people from seeking out help. But for many African Americans, quality mental health care isn't even accessible. First of all, it can be expensive. And finding a therapist who shares your culture isn't easy. About 5% of therapists in the United States are Black, while 84% are white. Inequality of care has caused some Black patients not to trust mental health providers. Black people are disproportionately misdiagnosed and over-medicated, and not getting the proper treatment can make things worse. I'm grateful I had a positive experience. My doctor was a Black woman, so she really helped me through the colorism because she understood the issue. She did not prescribe meds, but talking to her felt more like talking to a family friend. She listened to me and made me feel normal. Eventually, I learned to embrace my dark brown skin for multiple reasons. Therapy helped, and my mother bought me books and magazines with photos of gorgeous Black women with hues similar to Viola Davis or Lupita Nyong'o.
Right. So you could see that, you know, dark-skinned Black women are beautiful. Always have been.
This may come as a shock, but charm school had an impact. My mom sent me to a charm school run by a Black woman that focused on inner self-love. Research and colorism further enlightened me on the historical roots of my pain, and writing in my journal gave me some peace of mind. Still, through the years, I battled depression and carried lots of shame. I continued to secretly go to therapy up until my 20s. But things really began to change in my 30s. Broke and unemployed, thanks to the Great Recession, journalism jobs were scarce. I took a communications job at a nonprofit in East Oakland that advocates for people with mental health challenges. This was one of the best decisions I ever made. I met people from all sorts of cultures with bipolar, schizophrenia, depression, addiction, etc., and they taught me I have nothing to be ashamed of. So when I left that job a few years later, I left with a gift, self-compassion. I'm the purple rose who blooms. At times I've grown during long droughts, alone in the darkness, but somehow come out brighter, glowing right with the rainbows. I'm the purple rose who blooms vibrantly. For the little Black girls who are lied to, told their dreams are impossible, I reflect possibility. I've learned to stay afloat when the blues weigh me down, like writing poetry or having a wellness plan for when triggers come. But none of this would have been possible without the initial actions and ongoing support of my mother. For any parent listening out there, what advice do you have for them if they have a child that's struggling with depression or a mental health challenge?
Don't be judgmental. I think that's important. Don't be in denial, because oftentimes it's right in front of you, but you know, you say to yourself, "Oh, it's just a phase they're going through. Oh, they'll get over it." It's no, you know, no. Get it evaluated.
I share my story so other people know they're not the only ones suffering. I still have my challenges and go to therapy. Some days are better than others, but I know that living with depression doesn't mean I'm weak. No matter who you are, it takes a lot of strength to deal with this thing. But that's life. It comes with beauty and thorns. I'm Janae Darden for Cross Currents, and this is my Bayview.
That was KLW's Janae Darden. Her book of poems is called When a Purple Rose Blooms. She'll be reading from it on August 8th at the Museum of the African Diaspora in San Francisco.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, don't say it cause I know I'm cute. Ooh, baby. Louis down to my drawers, LV all on my shoes. Ooh, baby. I be dripping so much sauce, gotta be looking like Grey Goose. Ooh, baby. Lit up like a crystal ball, that's cool, baby, so is you. That's how I roll. If I'm shining, everybody gonna shine. Yeah, I'm gold. I was born like this, don't even gotta try. Now you know. I like shouting, they get better over time. Now you know. They just say I'm not the best.